Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Conscious Conversations with me, Marlin Anderson. This is where I'll be guiding you on your own healing journey and talking you through my experiences with spirituality, grief, postnatal, prenatal depression, domestic abuse, eating disorders, and how I've got to be the person I am today. And I'm going to get you exactly to where you need to be. You can catch this podcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Conscious Conversations with me, Marlin Anderson. Now this week, seeing as it's Domestic Abuse Awareness Month, I'm going to delve into all the relationships that I've had and the way that they've made me who I am today and discuss why I kept on getting into these types of relationships. Now, I'm going to start with the basics first. So, I have to always strip it back to you guys, and we all know, well, hopefully you all know now, by now, if you've been listening to the rest of my episodes, that it starts with our inner child and our childhood, right? So if I take it back to when I was a little girl and I really look at the mother and the father wound that I had, it now makes sense why I was, I'm gonna use the word attracting partners. Now, I'm using it in a different sense to what you think I might be saying. So when I say attracting, it's not like you attract abuse into your life. I kept going for the same kind of abusive partners because I was attracting them from a wound within me. So now if I look back at when I was a kid and the relationship I had with my mum. Actually, no, let's go to my father. I didn't have a relationship with my father because he passed away when I was around 11 months old. So this was going to have a huge impact on the way I viewed men and the way that I thought I should be loved because I didn't have a dad to show me that, right? So firstly, I didn't have a father in my life to give me that guidance that every child needs. Every child needs their father. And this is why I think it's so important for Zaya to have that with her dad. And she has the most beautiful, loving relationship with her dad. And that was something that I really, really wanted to make sure would happen with her. Despite what happened with me and him, it was a key thing for me to make sure she had that connect with her father. Because I know personally, now from not having my dad in my life, it impacted me massively. I didn't know the basic things, like how a father should hug you and love you. I had a stepdad growing up, right? He was introduced to me when I was about 3-4 years old. And our relationship was really weird. I called him daddy. He was my mum's partner. I didn't see love between them both. So I didn't have an understanding of what love should look like. They never hugged. They slept in spare rooms. It was like a transactional relationship. If I say it quite bluntly, he supported all of us. He was a brilliant father figure. But there was no emotional connect with him. I didn't hug him properly. There was no love, like father and daughter love there. So I never knew what it was like, even holding the door open for you with the car, right? Or I would cry because I had a sad day. I couldn't go and speak to him. I didn't have that bond at all. It's quite sad seeing it now because I remember this one time when I was in the playground. I think I was like 5 years old. I fell over and I was like, I didn't even know my dad. He died when I was 11 months old. And all I know is like a few videos my mum showed me, my mum would speak about him and stuff. And I remember crying out for my dad when I was only 5 and I didn't understand what was going on. I remember seeing his grave. I visited his grave every time I'd go to Sweden, but I called for him. And as a kid, that's really sad, right? The teacher told my mum she called for her dad and I don't know who I was calling for really, because I didn't know him. And I could tell that little girl inside of me already from a young age knew that not having a father was going to impact her. I didn't know how real love should be or what it should be like. I never saw my mum have a loving relationship and I didn't know what it looked like. So that's my father's side, right? Minus the generational trauma from his side and his DNA that I got from him and all of that, because that's how deep it goes there, guys. It is embedded in our DNA. So if we go over to my mum's side, now I've mentioned it before on previous episodes, my mum had a fucking horrible upbringing. She had six sisters, a brother, lived in a shanty town. Her dad would beat her. I think they used like crocodile tails, whipped her. Her mum was emotionally unavailable. I used to say that my mum wasn't beautiful and stuff like that. My mum's upbringing was tough, man. There was no love. Okay, no love at all. So I'm surprised my mum gave me the love she did, because she didn't understand what it was because she didn't have it. And now when I look at my upbringing with my mum, she would hug me and kiss me, but then she'd be cold. It was up and down with her. She would never play with me. She left me alone a lot. She'd work and grind. And I respect her for that, because that's what she thought she was there to do, to provide. But the emotional needs weren't met. And I see that very, very clearly now that I've done all the work within me, right? The inner child stuff. I had to really go right back to like birth. So if we take it back to birth, and guys, I'm deadly serious, this is where it starts. It starts in the womb. Now, let's see where the emotional disconnect starts, okay? My mum's pregnant with me. She's had four C-sections already. I've got two brothers, one sister. She's pregnant with me. My dad has cancer. It's terminal. He's dying. And he's in the room next to my mum, ill. So my mum's gone for the elective C-section. I was born around 12 in the afternoon. And my dad's in the room next to her, but he's really ill. And my mum's in like a room in the hospital giving birth to me. My mum's emotional state when she was pregnant with me was depression, anxiety, sadness, grief. And I'm feeling all of that in the womb, okay? I'm already feeling that disconnect in my mum's womb. And I haven't even been born yet. Then I'm born. My dad holds me and says to my mum, remind Marlin that I held her and I'll always love her. And that's what my mum told me. And my dad just goes downhill for the next 11 months of my life and he passes away, okay? So I'm a baby, I've entered this world and my mum is severely depressed, okay? And I don't know where to start with this. So I was my mum's last child, okay? She was around 39 when she had me. And I had to go to Sweden a year ago when I was going through this search for my inner child healing. It's very tough when you don't have answers to things, when your parents aren't around, right? And so my mum told me this lady helped bring me up. She was like a nanny. I don't know if they called it that back then. And her name was Mary Mirja. She was a Swedish lady. She was really sweet. And she helped raise me. So I went to visit this lady and I got a lot of answers from her. And she said to me, when I was born, my dad was severely ill. My mum was tending to all of my siblings and him. And she would be called to help with me. And she'd be there overnight and do the nights with my mum. And she said there'd be times I'd be crying in my cot. My mum would be like, just leave her, she'll be fine. So I'm a baby, right? And I'm already feeling that emotional disconnect from my own mother. This lady, this caregiver in my life is having a huge impact on me. So she was helping raise me up until I was like 2 years old. So then my dad dies. I'm 11 months old and it must get worse. My mum is grieving. She's moving to England. She decided to move us all to England for a fresh new start. Leave all my aunties and uncles and every support system we had to come to England. Don't ask. I don't know what was going through her head, but she obviously needed it. And I moved to England. I think I was just about 3 years old. Okay, my caregiver, Mary Mirja, when I went to see her a year ago, she had Moomins everywhere in the house. She collected Moomin dolls. Don't know if any of you know what a Moomin doll is. It's a Swedish program, it's a cartoon. And I always wondered why I was fascinated with fucking Moomins. I love them and I didn't know why, because I don't remember watching it as a kid. And I looked in her house and I got tears in my eyes and I was like, fuck, okay. This lady must have had a huge impact on my upbringing, because my subconscious has had an attachment to Moomins, right? And I don't know where it came from, and it was her. It wasn't my own mother, it was her. So I must have spent a lot of time with her. And I wish I could ask my mum more questions about it, but I can't. Anyway, I'm skipping from bit to bit here, guys. Bear with me. It's me again on my own in my room. By the way, I'm having guests on from next week, so it's not just me anymore. I think I've pretty much told you my life story by then, and we want to hear other people talk about theirs. So this is the last one of me on my own, potentially. Yeah, I'm just looking around the room thinking, fucking hell, my life story. Anyway, so I've moved to England and I'm 3 years old. I've left my motherland. I'm starting a new country, moving to England, and as a kid, you're already disconnecting with your home and you're moving to a new home. That's a lot for your little brain. And that's where my childhood starts. Houghton Conquest in Bedfordshire. I'll never forget it. I was there until I was 16 years old. Fucking hell. I remember a lot. I don't know if anyone listening to this remembers their childhood, but I have fucking clear, vivid memories of everything that went on because I'm really tapped in. And when I went through my inner child healing phase, it's not just like, oh, give yourself a hug and tell her you love her. That's all good. No, you have to go visit those memories. You have to go and look at memorabilia. I bought all the toys I played with as a kid to give to Zaya and then trigger memories inside me that were painful. I meditated on it. I asked for guidance from my spirit guides. I would tap into parts of my brain that I'd blocked out, because you will block shit out that you don't want to remember. No matter how hard you try, you might not want to remember something, but it will come through when you're ready for it, when you're ready to receive that information, to integrate, to process, and to waken that part of yourself up, to let it go. It will reach you no matter what. Anyway, when I went through this phase, I unlocked a lot about my own father, which I'm not going to talk about on here because it's very personal and it's not nice at all, from when I was a baby and when I was a child. And then that was a lot for me to process. And then I started unlocking stuff about my mum. Now I'm going to talk about my mum quite a bit on this. And I love her to pieces. I love you, mum. I know you're watching me, probably fucking haunting me. Guiding me, of course. But she had a huge impact on me. And as I said, her upbringing was horrible. And she tried her best that she could. And remember, guys, your parents only know as much as they know themselves. And that's why forgiveness is so important on this journey. Forgiveness is fucking key. It's so key to anyone that has done you wrong, anyone that has mistreated you. You have to forgive with an open heart because that's where you can let go, okay? So mum, I forgive you. I've done that already. I've done all the forgiveness of my mum, so I don't need to go back there, but let's delve in, okay? So when I look back and revisit my childhood, she never played with me. She shouted a lot. There'd be screaming and shouting in my household so much, where I used to remember hiding under the covers. I used to like pretend I was a superhero a lot and hide and make dens. I remember once I walked to the park, it was like a 5-minute walk. I walked there on my own. I was 3 years old, right? They were like, where's Marlin gone? And they found me in the park. I'd got there on my own because I just felt like I was never seen or heard. I would do really funny things like make dens and hide under the bed. We had, do you remember those bunk beds? And then you have like the drawer underneath the bed that you can pull out. Like it's storage. I'd pull it out, hide inside it, and then push it back in and I'd be in there. And I would literally stay under the bed for like 5 hours until someone would find me. Okay. Because I wanted attention, wanted to be seen. And I felt like I was invisible in my household. My brothers never wanted to play with me. They used to pick on me and bully me, but that's what brothers do, right? Sister did her own thing. She's probably listening to this, so I'm not going to cuss her. Sorry, Emma. Love you. She was just doing her own thing. She was a teenager. But yeah, she contributed to a lot of the shouting in the household. There was a lot of arguments. There was a lot of screaming. It was unhealthy. My mum would swear a lot and shout a lot. She would show signs of being depressed a lot. Now I know what they were. God, there's so much information to get out. So I was very attached to her. When I say there was screaming and shouting in the house, there'd be slamming doors, arguments with my sister and my brothers and my stepdad, and she'd slam her door, open it again, slam it, come back out 5 minutes later, say something else. And this would be going on like 1 a.m, and I'd be a kid in bed and I'd put the duvet over my head and I'd try and block out the noise. Sometimes I'd want to sleep in her bed, and I used to love sleeping in my mum's bed, and she would just always be on the phone to her sisters that lived in Sweden, speaking in Swedish, and I'd sit there and I'd read a book, and she wasn't showing me any attention. She'd be on the phone a lot, so she'd be disconnected by next to me, and that's why I make it. It's really hard in this day and age, but I'm so fucking conscious about being on my phone around Zaya. You know, when they're like, mummy, and you're on your phone, you're like, one minute. My mum did that to me. And I'm going to go into why this is important. Remember that bit where I said to you, my mum was on the phone a lot when I was a kid, And I'd be like, mum, and she'd be like, 1 minute I'm on the phone, she'd be on the phone for fucking hours. Like, do you remember after 6 p.m. on like the landline, it'd be free calls after six? Yeah, oh fuck me, my Sri Lankan mother made use out of that, didn't she? Remember I said that, because I'm going to come back to that, because a certain ex of mine triggered that memory in me. Anyway, so I remember that. I remember a lot of the playing on my own and not being heard or seen, okay? So I had a lot of anxiety as a child. When I hit middle school, I pulled my hair out. I didn't know why I was doing it. Now I know at the time. I would pull each strand of my hair out, top of my head. And this was called trichotillomania. And this is a condition where you pull your hair out. It's a form of anxiety, OCD. And I would be there doing it and I didn't know how. And I think my sister helped me to stop. But that was me showing signs of disconnecting and my really dysregulated nervous system. I built a fear of nighttime and sounds at night. To this day, sometimes it's a lot better now. But when Zaya sleeps at her dad's house and I'm on my own, if I hear a single noise, I get fear, fucking fear. And another certain ex brought this out of me again. But because of all the shouting in my household and having such a dysregulated nervous system as a child, my body held on to that fear at nighttime. Where I'd hide and stay still and freeze under the covers. That was pretty much, in a nutshell, I've summed it up quite quickly, my relationship with my mum. And when she did show me love, it was beautiful, but I'd give her hugs and she'd be but quite calm, like, get off me, you know, and she'd be busy in the kitchen doing something. And she was a very, very good mum. She did her best and I love her for that. But she was troubled herself. There's one more occasion which stuck in my head, and this came out in therapy. She tried to kill herself in front of me. I must have been around 4 or 5 years old, and I remember this. She had had an argument. She was very depressed. She'd have these episodes, right? And I think there might have been bipolar there, but I hate putting labels on things because I think this is just a collection of traumas, right? And she would get the Dettol, the toilet duck, and she'd try and drink it and be like, I don't want to be here anymore. It's only because of you, Marlon, that I'm here. And that is when I developed a really unhealthy attachment to my mum. I had fear that she would I would lose her. And she made me feel like she needed me. So the roles kind of reversed, where I was my mum's kind of carer in a sense. And then lo and behold, she had breast cancer twice and then stomach cancer, and I became her carer. And this played out this had a very fucking big impact on my relationship. So I had the fear of losing the ones that I loved the most. So I'd self-sabotage, right? Or I'd be overly attached and be on that person's case and have the fear inside of me that something would go wrong. And there's the attachment issue. Your mum's trying to kill herself in front of you, and she says, the only reason I'm here is because of you. So there was that guilt there. And then you have that responsibility as a child. It's fucked. So let's fast forward it now. You kind of got a bit of background info on my parents. If we fast forward to relationships, I mean, I had the first love of my life when I was like, I don't know, you say it's love. When I was around 15, 16 years old, he was brilliant. He was amazing. I was just a hormonal bitch. His name was Callum. He was lovely. Can't fault him at all. And then I entered the TV world and cabin crew world, and I went on dates and stuff like that. Let's talk about the first relationship that I had properly, not properly, but, you know, that was paramount in my life. And that was with a guy that you'll probably know. It was in the press. His name was Tom Kemp. And I had a child with him called Concy, who passed away. Now, I met him literally around the time my mum died, okay? And so this was really a fucked up time in my life where you're vulnerable and you're going to be attracting these kind of people into your life because of the state of mind you're in. Bearing in mind, I've done no work on myself whatsoever and I'm living in fucking dysregulated nervous system cuckoo land. I've met him and the abuse starts, right, within a few months. It's a loving stage at the beginning, the love bombing, the attraction. I didn't know he was living like double lives. He had a girlfriend at the time. I hadn't had a fucking clue. And it was just really awful. And then I fell pregnant really quickly and I was trapped and the abuse became really, really bad. It was physical, pushing me into wardrobe, pushing me downstairs, pulling my hair out. He strangled me. He broke my hand. There was a lot. And I was in and out of that for a few years. It was really tough when Concy was in hospital and we were living at Great Ormond Street together at the parents' accommodation. He was abusing me then, and the nurses and the staff, they saw a few things, and I'd cover up for him. I remember saying he had autism at one point. Like, I just made stuff up because I was in fear. And I was made to believe that I had no one else around me. He'd say shit like, no one's going to fucking love you. Your mum would be like disappointed in you. He called me fat bitch. All of these things, right? Like, it was endless. And then he'd be really nice. And then he'd throw something at me. Once he called me like a whore, and he poured wine all over me. He tipped Lucozade on me. He threw me out of a car. There were a lot of incidents of this guy, and I didn't report any of them until the pivotal moment happened. And I kept going back, dropped the charges, went back, and I stayed over his, and we had an argument. He put his hand around me. I passed out. He broke my hand, and I'm trying to collect my stuff, right? And I'm on the floor on my knees, and I managed to get a video of him. And he's spraying deodorant in my face, going, you fucking whore, you piece of shit. And he was kicking me on the floor and spraying deodorant in my eyes. And I managed to get some of that on camera. And if I didn't, he wouldn't have got charged and sentenced. And that was tough even then, because there were restrictions in place and restraining orders and stuff like that. And I lived on my own, and then we went through COVID, and that nighttime fear, oh fuck, that came through with this, because there were incidents when we were together, I'd try and break up with him and block him, and then he'd turn up. I remember living in an apartment, he knocked on my neighbor's door, said, my girlfriend's ill, and can I jump your balcony? They were like, yeah, sure. He jumped from their balcony to mine, tried to get into my apartment. I had to call the police. And these things would happen where he'd turn up randomly at like 2 a.m. So night times for me were always really fucked up. And he brought out that part of me as a child that felt really unsafe. So that took me a long time to get the PTSD from that. So yeah, that was a really difficult time for me. And then I healed. I did the work. I had to go no contact. That's the only way you can in relationships like this, with all your fucking strength and willpower. I lost a lot of friends. I gained a lot of new friends. And every experience we have is a lesson and an experience for us to grow and to learn. Now they say when you are, and I hate to use this word, but when you keep attracting the same type of partner and you're welcoming that same partner, it's because you're welcoming that person into the same wound that you've got within you. Now, he was the biggest, you know, the extremist version I had of that, but they keep getting less and less until you learn the lesson, right? So next would be Zaya's dad, and it was different. And I don't want to go into this detailed because he's in my life, he's in Zaya's life, and he's a fucking amazing dad. But that still was toxic and emotionally toxic as well. I'm not going to go into it, but if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. And I had to learn as well that way. And so these lessons get lighter and lighter until we say no fucking more, and we address where that wound is coming from. Now, Zaya's dad would be on the phone a lot, right? He'd always be on the phone to his friends, and he'd ignore me. And he made me feel very unseen. That's all I'm going to say about him. If you're listening to this, honey, you know what you did. He made me feel really unseen in that relationship. He cheated and stuff like that. And that was right at the beginning. And I felt like a piece of shit throughout that. And he was also very good as well in different ways. But I felt very unheard and very unseen in this. He reflected my mother wound massively. He brought out parts of my mum, and that made me, you know, go, wow, I understand it now. And he was the hardest person to overcome, Zaya's dad, because imagine co-parenting with a guy, right? I have to see him like fucking what? 6 times a week, drop off, pick up, 3 days a week. And that was the biggest roller coaster of my life. The biggest roller coaster. Zaya's first year was fucking heartbreak city. And that propelled me into discovering who I really was. In fact, that relationship was the biggest signpost to Marlin, go look within now. You can't do this anymore. And so our relationships around us really show us, they're the biggest fucking sign of where we need to do the work. They bring out parts of us and show us parts that we can't see on our own. Yeah, I kept disappearing on the weekends whenever he'd have Zaya. I was a mess. And that's when I went to rehab and then my awakening occurred December last year, right? I will always thank the relationships I had because they have shown me what I am worth. They have made me realize and understand that I'll accept nothing less and nothing. I was about to say nothing more. I fucking deserve more. I accept nothing less. And every relationship we have in our life is a mirror. Okay. And when I say a mirror, when someone pisses us off or triggers us, it's showing us an access point into where we need to do work on. So I would write and I would journal things that would come up in every relationship. I looked at every relationship from my cleaner to my old friends to different people in my life, and I'd start dreaming about these people and the reactions that they would give me and arguments I've ever had. And I hate confrontation. I really do. And I really went in on the relationships I've had, and I suggest you do the same. I would write down every person in my life that was significant and write down how they'd make me feel, what they've taught me, what they're bringing up in me. And I just did like a mind map. And I would discover that these different things and the memories would pop up through this discovery. When you're attached to someone, like I can easily say, hand on my heart, I'm in love with Zaya's dad still. Like there is such a love there that I have for him. Because he has his own traumas, his own past, right? And when you come together, it's difficult. When none of you have done the work and you come together, it's the wrong timing or God knows. I've been propelled into my healing. He's not there yet. He's on his own journey. But we also have to remember the masculine and the feminine that we carry within each, right? He's quite masculine and I'm quite masculine. I've never felt the feminine side of me where I'm able to be held and loved and nurtured. I've always had to have this independence because I felt that as a kid, be on my own, do everything on my own. I can do this. I'm the provider of Zaya and me. I'm the provider. No one's going to help me. And so I bring that masculine part of me into relationships, and I've had to learn that it's okay to receive. It's okay to be loved. It's okay to feel love. And at that point in my life, I was still in my masculine mode and we just clashed, right? And there's got to be a really good, healthy balance there. But yeah, it's ironic you learn these things after, right? But all I can say is when it comes to relationships, when someone is harmful to you or toxic, you're so blinded by it when you're in that moment and you only see it when you're out of it. But here I can give you information and say to you, that everything is an experience. We are here as souls to evolve and to grow. And the only way to do that is through pain. And nothing is good and nothing is bad because we're always learning from it and we're coming out of it and we're seeing the light. We're seeing the light after it. So if you're in something and you know it's not right because our intuition and our guidance system will tell you it's not okay. God, when I was having deodorant sprayed in my eyes, I knew it wasn't okay. So why the fuck would I go back to him? It's because there was a bond, there was an attachment there. It was a trauma attachment, a trauma bond to this man. That the wound he was opening was because of the wound I hadn't dealt with my own mother. So that was never going to get resolved until I realized that wound needed addressing and closing and shutting down and that cord being cut. So I hope that this episode can give you a bit of an insight into how truly deep it goes. It's not just I'm going to meet someone and we've broken up. I've been broken up for 3 months. So I'm ready to move on. No, honey, you'll keep meeting the same kind of fucking person until you understand why. And I can't tell you why because I don't know who's listening to it. I don't know who you are that's listening to this. Only you can know that. But you have to put in the work to understand it. And to get to a point of an awakening, right, you've got to do a bit of the work and show the universe that you're ready to evolve. You'll become so much more in tune with yourself spiritually and emotionally, where you start to discover new parts of yourself from doing this kind of work. So by listening to your intuition and your guidance system and feeling your body, how do you feel around this person? What have they taught you? You're going to open up new channels of yourself. And then you'll start to see that you're worthy of real fucking love and that you're worthy of everything beautiful and you're so deserving of it. But you're not going to see that at the time because that wouldn't be a lesson. Another thing I had to understand was to get myself out of that victim mentality. In order to move forward, you have to be the boss of it. You have to own it. You can't be a victim to your past or a slave to your past. And that's why I know it's Domestic Abuse Awareness Month, and I used to really go ham on this kind of thing, right? Every month I'd be in a different kind of awareness. And I want to not talk about the abuse itself anymore. I want to talk about why I allowed myself that. Why was I allowed that to happen to myself? Because I had a part to play in that, right? And I'm not saying that we ask for the abuse. I'm not saying that at all. I didn't fucking ask to be hit or abused. What I'm saying is that that little girl inside of me felt that that was okay and felt that that was normal. And that was what real love was, but it wasn't. And so I have to really ask myself, why did I think that? What part of me thought that that was okay? And if you don't ask yourself that, you're going to end up in the same situation again and again. So when I say I had a part to play in it, I hadn't done the work and I hadn't understood it. But I couldn't have done the work because I was truly living in my trauma then. And that's why I'm saying to you, everything's an experience. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I'm going to be brutally honest here and say, you know, we have a part to play in our own healing. We have to take ownership into who we are to become a better version of ourselves tomorrow. We can't keep repeating the same cycles and the same patterns. And don't get me wrong, these people, make no mistake that these people we encounter and these relationships we have are part of a karmic pattern that's playing out too. They're a reason they're in our life. They're to teach us and to show us something. We have to really understand why. Zaya's dad was a huge karmic partner in my life. He was the biggest obstacle that I had to overcome. And oh, there was a lot of suffering involved. Fuck me, you know, a lot of suffering involved. But I had to cut that karmic pattern. I had to say no more, no fucking more. So yeah, I hope this made sense to you. I really do. And I try and word things as much as I can in a way that's easy. But I'm saying this out of love because I don't want you to make the mistakes I did. Unless, actually, no, take that back. They're not mistakes. It's a learning curve and it's growth, guys. Remember, everything is growth. But I hope you enjoy this episode. And to Zaya's dad, I love you. As Zaya's dad, don't get it twisted. And you're an amazing dad and I respect you so much. And I know our relationship was pretty rocky, but you taught me a lot and I respect you for that. And I hope I taught you something as well. Hopefully you'll have a Kundalini awakening and wake up to your senses, but probably not anytime soon. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you've understood what I've said. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And if you are in an unsafe environment and you are amidst an abusive relationship, please reach out to Women's Aid or Refuge Charity. They're amazing. They have online support 24 hours. They have a number you can call as well. You are not alone. Make sure you've got the good people around you because every relationship around you is showing you something about yourself. I promise you. Take care, guys, and I'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.